But you know, have you ever had something on your mind that was so great that you just couldn't shake it, and you prayed and prayed over it, and nothing seemed to come from it? And you mentioned that you had prayed for healing in a couple of situations, and it didn't come. But we do get answers. I mean, as you mentioned there as well. But why does it seem like God doesn't answer our prayers? That's the question we're going to tackle this morning. We've tackled why the bad things happen to good people. We've tackled the question of once saved, always saved. You know, last week we tackled another question, and for some reason it's escaping me right now. I preached it and I forgot it. What?
The unforgivable sin.
There you go. What is the unforgivable sin? I'm glad you looked at your bulletin, right?
Notes.
Oh, okay. But this week we want to answer the question, why does God not answer my prayers? Now, I've got a couple of ways we're going to look at it, and I want to go through some of the heroes of faith. The verse that we're opening up with actually is in the bulletin, if you wanted to look in there, or if you want to look it up. It's Psalm 66:18, and it just says this. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I want to start with that verse this morning. I want us to understand what that verse means this morning. But what I want us to understand is sometimes we pray earnestly. Sometimes we pray and we ask God to do things, and we cannot understand why He does not answer those prayers. Sometimes we ask questions and we pray to God and we ask God to take care of healing, and it doesn't happen. But I want you to understand today, God answers every prayer. The problem is sometimes we're looking for a different answer. And so if we start there, I think there's any number of reasons why that He doesn't answer our prayer. Now, we think He hasn't answered the prayer. But in other words, what I'm saying this morning is that maybe it's just we were looking for the wrong answer. And maybe we're getting wrapped up in this situation of why is God, maybe the real question this morning for us to ask is, why does God not give me what I want? Why does not God not do what I ask Him to do? Why does God not answer my prayer in my way? Because see, then we can get into a situation where we clarify things a little bit within ourselves, and we start to understand a little bit more about who God is to us. But, you know, sin in our heart, the verse that I open up with, I want to go back to that real quick and just really focus on that today, that sin in our heart keeps us from having those prayers answered in the way we would like them answered. I mean, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And before we look at what the psalmist did say, I want to take a look at what the psalmist did not say in this verse. All right, so what I want us to look at is that he did not say that if I sin or have sinned, that God will not answer me. He didn't say that. He didn't say that if I have sinned in my life or if I sin, that God will not answer my prayer, because we have all sinned. We are all sinners that fall short of the glory of God every day. And we are only sinners that are saved by the grace that God still gives each and every day. Now, does that mean that we continue to sin so that grace abounds all the more? Absolutely not. We talked about that all morning. And we can continue to talk about that until we're blue in the face. But until we understand what that means, then maybe we aren't fully understanding what God is saying to us this morning. The key to what He said in this verse is simply this, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, I am a sinner saved by grace, but if I hold sin in my heart, God will not hear my prayers. That doesn't mean if I have sinned. That doesn't mean if I commit a sin. That means if I hold on to a sin. If I let sin become the key running force of my life. That means if I love sin or if I cherish sin. Or maybe it means that if I make an alibi for sin. How many of us do that? How many of us continue to justify the life that we live because, well, you know, I know it's wrong, but if you know it's wrong, then why are you doing it? I know it's wrong, but God will forgive me because, you know, we shouldn't give excuses for sin. If we try to cover our sin up in some way where we don't let anyone know that it's there, or maybe so that it becomes a controversy between us and God, it becomes a situation where we're battling between what God wants us to see and what we want God to see. And many times in our selfish nature, we look to the latter of that statement. We want God to see our way. We want God to see why we feel this way or that way. We want God to look at our lives in a certain way. But I'm going to tell you this morning, then with all of those things put together, if we love sin, cherish sin, make an alibi for sin, all of that put together, those are the times when God will not answer me when I myself call on Him while praying. When I am... You know, let me rephrase that statement a little bit this morning and put it this way. God will not answer you when you pray calling on your own work to do it. God will not answer you when you pray to yourself, so to speak. Because when you're praying to yourself, what that means is you're praying for what you want. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody come to me and say, Philip, why will God not answer my prayer? And the first thing I ask, well, what are you praying? You know, I understand that we have circumstances, but what are you praying? 9 times out of 10, it's them saying, well, I'm praying for this specific answer. I'm like, then that's why He's not answering you. Because God is not going to answer us in our way. And if He does, it may not be in our time. We need to understand that today, that sometimes some of God's greatest gifts, to use the words from Garth Brooks, you know, that great theologian I mentioned as we opened, to use the words from Garth Brooks, sometimes some of God's greatest gifts are the unanswered prayers. Sometimes the best gift we can get from God in a circumstance is that unanswered prayer. How many times do we pray for someone and then they pass away and that's not the answer we were looking for? That's not the answer we were hoping for. That's not exactly what we thought we wanted. But then in reality, do we really want them to stay here and suffer and go through the turmoils of life even more so? To go through the struggles and the pain and the suffering that they were going through when God's answer was to take them home so that they could live in a land where there is no more sorrow, and no more pain, where there's no more burdens that they have to bear, no more grief. You know, and sometimes answering the prayer is the death that comes and we grieve. You know, sometimes we pray selfishly. And today I want to take a moment to go through and I want to illustrate this. We've gone through some of these stories, so I may not spend as much time on them. And for those of you that haven't heard the whole series on faith that we preached about the heroes of faith, I'm sorry. But it's Hebrews chapter 11 if you want to catch back up to where we are. But, you know, we spent 8 weeks in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11 specifically. And we talked about the heroes of faith and we talked about the hall of faith, so to speak. But this morning, I want to take some of these saints, men and women. So I want us to look at this. I want us to understand this morning, that there are many prayers that are not answered until something happens. And there are many prayers that are not answered until our selfishness subsides. Just as he said, until we come down to a moment, until we come down to a situation where we realize we need to let God have His way, God will allow us to hold on to something. And we will hold on and we will hold on and we will hold on. That's many times why you see family members who are laying in a hospital bed and they tell you that, well, you need to go in and say your goodbyes. And if somebody's not willing to say goodbye or somebody's not made it in yet, you know, they've called in the family and you see family members hold on. I cannot explain how that happens. But I watched my grandmother do that. I watched my grandmother wait until our cousin from Arizona, who is out in Arizona, made it here and was able to be in the room to say goodbye. And she died within hours of that. I mean, you can't tell me that that wasn't a God thing. You can't tell me that God doesn't offer us moments for closure in those circumstances and situations. But what I want us to see this morning is that many prayers through the heroes of faith, the ones that we consider the foundations of the church, their prayers were not answered until sin, which separated them from God, was removed from their life. Their prayers were not answered until they took the opportunity because they let sin become a barrier. Sin became a wall between them and God. You know, I want to start with Moses. The first one we start with is Moses. If you want to turn to Numbers chapter 20, I'm not going to read it for you, but I want us to understand something there. Moses was a great man. Moses was a man that we considered qualified for what God was doing in the world. God was trying to accomplish a task. God was trying to lead something forward. Moses was a leader. He was a priest. He was a prophet. And Moses was a lawgiver. Moses got the first 10 laws from God. You know, we talked about law this morning. Moses was handpicked by God to come up the mountain and take the 10 commandments back to God's people. Moses was the one that wrote them down. Moses was the one that received that. He was a man that was prepared by God to do a task that was special. He was prepared by God to perform the task that was laid before him. And Moses prayed a prayer to be able to enter the promised land. Now, the reason I bring that up is because Moses was denied entry into the promised land. Moses, actually, if we look at it, the Israelites were not allowed to enter the promised land until Moses had passed away. But Moses did not get to enter the promised land. God denied Moses' request, and the answer to why God denied Moses' request is in Numbers chapter 20. In fact, more specifically speaking, in verse 10. But let's look at the story. Moses disobeyed a direct, he disobeyed a direct order, a direct command that God had given him. God had commanded Moses to speak to the rock to bring forth water. Moses instead struck the rock with his staff. Now, many of us have heard this story before, haven't we? Many of us know the story of Moses and getting water out of the rock. Now, God could have chosen not to give him water because Moses struck the rock, and he would have said, you know, your disobedience, that's not what I said. No, Moses struck the rock, the water came forth, and he was able to get what he needed and what the people needed. But Moses then, and here's the kicker, Moses then took credit for bringing the water forth from the rock. So then we notice in verse 10 that Moses said, we must, referring to Moses in Aaron, we must bring you water out of this rock. He didn't clarify. He was referring to himself. And then they hit the rock. And he said, we must bring water out of this rock. Moses took credit for what God had already told him would happen. And all he had to do was speak to the rock. Moses took credit for the miracle itself instead of attributing it to God. How many times do we take credit for something God has done in our lives because we're afraid of what somebody else might say about it? How many times do we take credit for what we have seen happen when in reality God did that through us? So Moses was denied entry because not only, and here I believe is the real reason Moses was denied entry into the promised land. And it's because of this third thing that happened in this situation. And that is that Moses did it in front of the Israelites. It wasn't just a private issue and then him and Aaron came back with water. This was a public matter. Moses had denied God in public. He had made a public example out of this. It was direct disobedience. He was told to speak to the rock and he did not. And the entire Israelite nation had seen it. The direct command was to speak. Moses disobeyed the direct command. And because of that, Moses' punishment would be that he was not allowed to see the one thing he had wanted to see his entire life. Have you ever had that moment where you realize that your sin, your barrier, your problem has caused such a separation that you're not going to be able to see the one thing you hoped you would in your lifetime? Think about it. How many of us today have not received the one thing we wanted the most? We think about circumstances and situations, or that one, maybe think back to high school, that one girl or that one guy that you prayed you would end up with because it was true love. But there might have been a barrier somewhere. You know, I don't know. I mean, just throwing out little things like that. But there's little things in our lives that keep us from realizing God's perfect plan in those situations. Moses was denied entry into the promised land because Moses disobeyed a direct order from God. And today, many of us are in the same boat. God has failed to answer our prayers because we have the same spirit of self-will rebellion and disobedience. We have the same spirit that we want to take credit for what God is doing. But I want to throw it out this way. All of us have parents, so I think we can all relate to this. But I always found that if I obey my parents, and if any of you knew Jim Green, you know that I had to obey him, or else, you know, it was fun. He didn't beat me or anything, but he was stern. And my mom had a switch, which it never hurt, but I let her think it did. But, you know, the thing is that I've always found that when I obey my parents, that they would be more apt to hear me and reply in a positive manner. Parents, you know it's true. If a child's obedient, you're a lot more willing to listen. You're a lot more willing to sit there and listen to what they have to say to you than if they're nothing but torture to you. If they continue to yell at you and scream at you and disobey you, you want to back up. You don't want to give them an opportunity. You don't want to give them a chance to be heard. You know, I first had to line my will up with my parents for me to be able to do that. They had obedience on their mind. They wanted me to obey a specific law that they had laid down in the Green household. You know, it was the Green family laws, and I had to obey them or else. And if I didn't, you know, let's go to your room. No, don't speak to me. Don't even think about speaking to me for right now. But if I obeyed them, we had conversation. I had to had to surrender my will to theirs. Now, this starts to sound a little familiar, doesn't it? It starts to sound a little bit like the church. This generation is suffering today, and we need to get out of it. We need to understand why this generation is suffering, and maybe we can flip the script. Maybe we can turn the tide. Children, if you are a child here today, you all are, by the way, just in case anybody's wondering who I'm actually speaking to on this, we need to be more obedient of our parents because it's a direct example of what our relationship with God can be like. If we can't obey our earthly parents, how in the world can we expect ourselves to obey God? If we can't obey mom and dad, how can we expect to obey our heavenly Father? But parents today are way too easy to do what their children want rather than allowing their children to learn the hard way. And unfortunately, in some cases and in many cases, the government has gotten involved in that. Now, I'm not here to say anything political. I'm not here to say, but folks, we've got to go back to what the scripture says. Parents, we're too easy on our children today. We've spoiled them. And what happens with that spoiled generation? They get what they want no matter how they get it, and they pitch a fit till they get it. We'll talk about that here in a few moments too. But without thinking, we are hurting our children spiritually more than anything. More than anything, we are hurting our children spiritually in the fact that we have given them what they want and they think they can do that with God. Folks, understand this today. Parents, you are the example of God your child sees until they are old enough to understand it themselves. And if they don't see it in you, they're going to see it somewhere else. And their idea of God is going to be that they can pitch a fit and get what they want. Or that they can do as they wish and there are no repercussions. Well, I hate to break it to you this morning, there are plenty of repercussions. And I'd hate for someone to stand before God on the day of judgment and find out that the repercussions are that they have to go somewhere besides heaven. That they have to go somewhere besides His presence. You know, children never understand what they must do to line up with God because we've spoiled them. They begin to think that God should give them what they want because they ask. Again, I remind you, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And I guarantee you that Moses, knowing that, you know, the Israelites were not made to suffer for Moses not obeying. But Moses was made to suffer. He was not allowed to enter the promised land, the one place he wanted to be, the land that God had promised him, all because of direct disobedience. So that's the first thing that we got to understand this morning. Direct disobedience separates us from God, keeps us from being able to achieve what we have prayed we would achieve. The second story I want us to remember, and we've talked about this when we spent 2 weeks on it, actually, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, we all know the story. We know how they disobeyed. Impatience will hinder your prayers. Think about it. We even mentioned it this morning. It was part of the Sunday school lesson. Abraham and Sarah prayed for an heir. God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. But how in the world can an old man and a barren woman have a child? Right? That was Abraham and Sarah's mentality. How in the world can we do this today? Well, God heard their prayer. He promised them that he would have a son. But I want us to think about this. There's a couple of things here. How many of us does this sound like today? God didn't move fast enough for them, so they thought they would help him out. How many times do we feel like God's not moving fast enough when we pray? And so we take those little steps on our own to try to speed the process up. You know, Sarah urged Abraham to have a child with Hagar. That's not God's plan. And God told them that. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child. Not Abraham and Sarah's maidservant, Abraham and Sarah. And God was ready to fulfill that. Hebrews 11:6 lets us know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, God will not give us an answer until we learn to wait upon him and we seek him diligently in our lives. Are you diligently seeking him today? Are you diligently trying to get to the meat of the matter? You know, God finally gave them a son in their old age, and impatience in their heart led to a delay in their prayers being answered. I honestly, fully believe that Abraham and Sarah were just months, if not days, away from finding out that Sarah was pregnant. And then they jumped the gun. And I fully believe that could be the case. You know, I talked about God's timing, and God's timing is everything. And the more we try to pressure God to change his timing, the longer we have to wait for God's timing to take place. Abraham and Sarah had to wait until he was over 100 and she was 90 for her to have a child. I don't know how many years that was after, I'd say maybe 10 to 14 years after Ishmael was born. They could have been days away from Sarah finding out she was pregnant. They could have been just moments away from God saying, "You're pregnant. Sarah, you've got a child." But because they jumped the gun, they were made to wait even longer. You know, Jesus tells the story of a judge who finally granted a widow her request because of her, quote, pestering. Her quote unquote pestering. Luke 18:7 says, Then he said, "Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay to help them?" If we make prayer a priority, if we make persistence in prayer a priority, God will not delay his answer. But we also have to make sure that we're fully aware of who we are in the situation, that we're not praying selfishly. You know, there's a formula for answer prayers. Jesus gave it to us. It says, ask and then wait patiently. You know, I'm throwing that in there, but he says, ask. But when we ask, we've got to wait patiently. We must seek. And that means we must put feet to our prayers. We must seek for the answer. It may mean that we open up the Word of God and we read, or it may mean that we actually go and do something that leads to the answer of that prayer, and then knock, and the door of heaven will be open unto you. Ask, seek, knock. You know, we just can't become impatient in the situation. We can't allow ourselves to become impatient in the circumstances. Many of our prayers don't get answered because we are trying to jump the gun, just like Abraham and Sarah. We must be patient and we must pray without ceasing. A third example I want to show us this morning is Hannah. How many of you know who Hannah was? She's the mother of Samuel. Hannah was a very selfish person, if you really read the scripture. And to be honest with you, selfishness is one of the greatest hindrances that we see to unanswered prayers. Now, I've talked about it a little bit this morning, but I want to get into it just a little bit more. And it's this: you don't have to take my word for it. Look at what James said in James chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." We've talked about this many times here. In fact, most of the scripture I'm using this morning, we have used in a sermon. over the last few months. But folks, we need to answer this question and we need to understand it very fully. God will not give his glory to another. God is not going to answer a prayer just so you can take credit for what he did. And if God knows your motives, which he does, I'm just going to throw that out there. You can't deny that one. You can't hold it back on God. You can't say, God, I promise you that this is exactly how I feel about this situation when you're exactly the opposite, because God knows the heart, not the words. God sees the truth. He knows when you're asking selfishly. Hannah was one of two wives to a man named Elkanah. Now, he loved Hannah more than the other, but Hannah had no children. The other wife had given him children. And Hannah began to pray. She began to pray for a son because she was being provoked by the other wife. She was being provoked to feel bad about herself because she had borne no children to him. Well, God didn't answer Hannah until she came and figured out some things. He didn't answer Hannah until, with contrition, she dedicated it to him first. It became the focal point of her life to give it to God first. And then when she finally came to God without an I want what I want now attitude. How many of you have that this morning? I know I do. We want what we want it now, and there's nobody that's going to stop us from getting it except God. Because Hannah had that attitude. But when she finally came to God and said, I want it in your time, but please grant me this. Please grant me a son. When Hannah finally got to that point and stopped with the I want what I want now, she was given a son. And she named him Samuel because Samuel means heard by God. Selfishness is a very powerful temptation in our lives today, and we need to understand that. We need to understand that selfishness can ruin us. Selfishness can tear us apart, but God will not answer selfish prayers. God will not answer a prayer that is selfishly prayed. Someone said, if you want to be happy, make others happy. I tell you, according to Scripture, if you want your prayers answered, pray what God wants. Don't pray what you want. It can't be what Joe wants or what Lamar wants or what Richie wants. It can't be what Lance wants or what Sharon wants. It can't be what Philip wants. As much as I want to pray for the things I want, it cannot be what I want. Selfishly, I want to pray certain things and I want to pray for it and I want it now. I'm just like Hannah. I'm just like Abraham and Sarah. I'm just like Moses. I'm just like Paul. The last example I want to share with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we see something this morning that I think truly opens us up to something else this morning. You know, I find so many things this morning about the scripture that just really, actually it may be 2 Corinthians 12, let me check. That's right, it is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm sorry. And I want us to look at something that we all relate to in many ways, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting there in verse 8, it says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Paul had a thorn in his flesh that he couldn't shake. We've talked about this before, and there's many debates as to what Paul's thorn in his flesh was. I think the most likely scenario is that it was related to depression. But, you know, I think most of our infirmities are related to depression in some ways, because when we have a struggle, when we have something that's wearing us down, when we have something that tears us away from God just a little bit, of course we're going to get a little depressed. because we can't shake what we want to shake because we're selfish. So Paul has this thorn in the flesh that he prayed three times for God to rid him of. And God said, in your weakness, then I am made strong. God said, in your weakness, you are made perfect because of me. He said, in your weakness, my grace is sufficient for you. Because he wanted him to understand that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. God said that to him, in my strength, or my strength is made perfect in weakness. Today I want to say this to you. God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. And it's our weakness that keeps us from having answered prayers. It's our weakness that keeps us from having what we need, because the answer isn't what God gives us, it's how we view what God gives us. Our unanswered prayers are really just prayers God's answered, but in a way we didn't expect Him to. Sometimes the answer maybe was wait. Sometimes the answer was not now. And sometimes the answer is just straight up no. But we're looking for the answer to be something specific. Paul wanted to be relieved of this infirmity. He wanted to be relieved of this thorn in the flesh. And God said no. Paul also wanted to preach in Jerusalem. If we look at what Paul had in life, we look at what it says there. He was never afforded the opportunity except one time as in a limited capacity as a prisoner. He was a Roman prisoner and was able to speak in Jerusalem, I think maybe once or twice. But Paul wanted these things. But I want to put it for you this way as we wrap things up this morning. And it won't be, I'll be quick, but it was not God's will for this to happen in Paul's life. God had a different will. And what we need to understand is that we need to get to that point in our life where we pray like Jesus prayed, thy will be done. Too many times we've gotten so wrapped up in what we selfishly wanted that we forgot that it was God's will that needed to be taking place in our lives. That it was God's will that we needed to be in line with. Just as we go back to like the conversation about parents and children, God's will, we must align ourselves with it. It may not be the answers we want, but at least it's the answers we need. We can go through life thinking we have what we need when it's really what we want. There's a reason we're miserable, folks. There's a reason that we allow ourselves to get so wrapped up in hurt. The first condition for answered prayers is that they must be in accordance with God's will. That they must be asked according to the will of God. And that doesn't mean that we pray all the time that we say, you know, not our will, but God's will. You know, absolutely pray that, but we need to understand that with our hearts. Lip service is just that. It's words that come out of our mouth, but where your heart is where it is. You know, you can say what you want, but are you lying to yourself this morning? Because when we pray prayers from the heart, we allow our heart to speak to God. There's something when we learn as babies in a nursery when we're taught the Lord's Prayer. I mean, this is something that we've learned from day one. And over the next few weeks, we are going to, on Sunday night and Wednesday night, we're going to go into prayer. We're going to study a little deeper into prayer and see what prayer truly is. You know, look at some different prayers of the Bible and really embrace what that is. But I want us to understand that even Jesus, who was God in the flesh, even Jesus, while facing one of the most difficult challenges of his life, prayed to God and said, not my will, but thy will be done. When he was in the garden and he was facing death, he said, not my will. But you got to think about this. Jesus did ask for that cup to be removed. Jesus even had an unanswered prayer of God. Think about it. You think you got it special? Think Jesus got everything he wanted because he was God's son? Well, Jesus prayed that if there was any other way, please let this cup pass from me. But not my will, thine be done. And God did not answer that prayer. God did not answer the prayer of removal because the greater answer came in what happened on the cross. So what we need to realize today, that this is the hardest thing that many of us will ever do, is actually coming to a situation and realizing that we're so self-willed, that we are so selfish, and we are so self-absorbed that it is hard for us in subordinate will to dedicate ourselves to God, to become subordinate to His will for our lives, to open ourselves up to realizing that God is in control. I have a couple of questions I want to ask you as we wrap things up this morning. We've been asking these big questions of God, but these two questions I want you to take with you this morning. I want you to take them with you, and I want you to answer them for yourself. You don't have to answer them for me, because it's not for me to answer this. But how many things do you pray over and ask for God's will to be done in your life? How many things do you pray over for God's will to be done in your life? And how many times do you really mean it? If you can ask yourself those two questions, and you can look at your life and you can pray those prayers, and you can know full well that you are fully dedicated to the will of God, you will see answered prayers and you will see answers come. But prayers are not answered in our way. Prayers are not answered in the way we hope that they would be. You know, 1 John 5:14-15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything in accordance to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him." And I want to add three words to the end of that statement: before we have them. If we know that our heart is right, if we know that we have come before God with the right motives, with the right mindset, with the right frame of mind, then we know that God has already answered our prayer. Because our will was aligned with His will. And we asked in accordance to His will. We must pray for things not as we need them, but as God sees them. We must pray for things not as we hope for them, because God knows what's best and He knows what we need. God created this body you're in. He created the body of everyone else that's here. He created us to be who we are. But until we align ourselves with His will, if we're not praying God's will over our lives, then we're not praying for the right things. And if you want to know why your prayers are going unanswered, start there. And then work your way back through that to figure out why maybe God's not answering in the way you asked Him. Because it's not for God to follow our lead, is it? God didn't create the world and then tell Adam and Eve to tell Him what to do. God created the world and gave Adam and Eve an order. Then we just decided to take free will and run with it. Here we are. And now we want to align with our will, because we think it'll be so much easier to go through life, because who knows you better than you, right? Well, I want to answer that question for you this morning too. God does. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knew you before you knew the world and before the world knew you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Which means that God knows the inside and outside. God worked you together in a way that no one else can understand, but God does. He understands you. He understands exactly who you are. And He knows what decisions you're going to make today. He knows the things that are going through your mind. He knows the inner workings of that brain. I mean, Rachel, you've studied all kinds of anatomy and everything else when you're going through medical school, but I mean, for crying out loud, even you don't understand the human body as well as God, right? Although you're probably closer than the rest of us. But what we need to understand this morning is simply this: God knows every single inner and outer working of your body. So why not put it in His hands? Align yourself with His will. And if you don't know what it is, ask. And He'll show you. But if you have a decision to make this morning, don't let yourself get out of here today without making that decision. If you need to realize that unanswered prayers simply come because of selfishness in our own selves, because we want to see what we want, and we don't want to see what God wants, then maybe we're not looking in the right path. Maybe some of God's greatest gifts are those unanswered prayers, because they bring us to realization of what we were really asking. Sometimes God's greatest gifts are the things that He leaves unanswered. I mean, in fact, if you really think about it, the greatest gift that was ever given was an unanswered prayer. Because Jesus in the garden said, "Take it from me." And God said, "No, because there's so much more that can be done if you do this." He died for you on the cross. He died for me. And He gave up Himself so that we could come. And today, come. We're going to sing 201, "Just As I Am." If you have a decision to make, make it. But come just as you are. God's not asking us to change for Him. He wants to change us Himself. He just wants us to be willing to allow His Word and His will to overtake Him. So 201, "Just As I Am," we'll sing the first and last verses.